Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Well, hello, church. I hope you're doing well. So good to see you all across Sydney. We're here. We are launching our Christmas campaign, which means we're on video. We're one church, many locations, doing it together. And so we're excited today because we are coming into Christmas time. Who loves Christmas? Come on, everybody. Make some noise if you love Christmas. Come on in Avalon. I know you love Christmas. Come on. Yes, we love Christmas. We're excited about Christmas time. And one of the things that's really good about Christmas time is that you gotta have a good Christmas family photo. Don't you, everybody? Don't you? And so I wanna help you out. I wanna help everybody out. I got some ideas, some photo ideas for you, okay? So here's some options when it comes to getting that perfect family photo. Here are some options. Number one option, you could do something like this. Beautiful. Yeah, stripy vibe, green, red, lying on the floor, looking really weird. You can do that. That works. Okay. Or you could do something like this. Also quite interesting. There's a ladder. The daughter is sitting on the ladder. Mum's got a leg on the ladder. It's quite interesting. Let's move on. Here's another one for all the couples out there. If you have a dog, you can do something like this for the couples. Have a look. Wow, isn't that amazing? Look at that Christmas vest. You got to love it. And now look, for all the couples, if you don't have a dog, but you happen to have a lamb, which would be appropriate at Christmas time, like a live lamb, you could do something like this. Wow. Now, look, you gotta love this guy's face. He is intense. And what a great mustache. I mean, that's great. Now, last one. This one is for all the dads. You could do this, dads. You could do this. You could literally throw your family under the bus and do something like this. Have a look. Yep, there's dad. He's got a Christmas hat on and he has made the rest of his family put on a reindeer nose and reindeer antlers, looking ridiculous except for him. So there you go, everybody. There's some photo options. I hope that has been helpful to you. I don't know what you're looking forward to about Christmas. I mean, there's lots of things happening. There's lots of anticipation in the air. Coles and Woolies have been on it since October. But as we come into December, there's a sense of anticipation about Christmas. And maybe one of the things you're looking forward to is a good Christmas movie, like Home Alone. Gotta love that movie. Maybe like Home Alone 1 and 2. I don't know if you like 2 better than 1 or 1 better than 2. Maybe The Holiday. Maybe you've tried some of those like shocking Netflix Christmas movies that are so B-grade. They're not even B-grade. I think they're D-grade, E-grade Christmas movies. Maybe that's what you're looking forward to. Maybe you are looking forward to a gift of sorts. Maybe you're like, oh, there we go. Maybe this is what you were looking forward to, a gift, a present. Maybe that's what you're excited about. That could be it. Maybe for you, it's about the Christmas season feeling like real Christmassy. And for you, that's snow. There you go. It's like Christmas snow, except you're in Australia, so there's no snow. Sorry about that. But maybe that's what you're looking forward to. Maybe you are looking forward to that ham, that turkey, something a bit better than that. Maybe you're looking forward to that Christmas meal that's coming. I don't know what you're looking forward to, but I know that Christmas is a time of anticipation. And there's a feeling in the air. And we would call that feeling, and that's what we would call calling our campaign this year, is there is a festive feeling in the air. And so thank you, Beck, for bringing the pulpit. Isn't that great? And so there's a festive feeling in the air, everybody. But here's what I want you to catch. The festive feeling, that feeling of anticipation, is not just a new idea. And actually, I think it's been dominated by the supermarkets, by retail outlets, that the sense of Christmas is coming. But actually, the sense of Christmas is coming has actually a feeling, it's a experience that belongs to the church. And there's a thing called Advent. I don't know if you've heard of Advent. Advent is observed in traditional Christian denominations, but it is this, it's this wonderful thing of preparation and anticipation, expectantly waiting for the arrival of Christ. Now, Jesus has arrived. It happened 2,000 years ago, but there's something powerful about coming into December with an expectation of the arrival of Jesus and what that means, reliving and remembering what his arrival means. The word Advent literally means arrival. It's the Latin word Adventus, and it means arrival, means the coming of the Lord. And when we ask, what's arriving? Who's arriving is a better question. We know the answer of Advent, the answer of arrival is Jesus. Jesus is who we are expectantly anticipating and waiting to arrive. And Christmas is based on the doctrine of the incarnation. And incarnation, it's an old Latin word, it simply means in the flesh. And so we are waiting. What's Christmas mean? When we come into December, we are anticipating the arrival of the promise of God, the promised Messiah, God in the flesh, incarnate God, God among us. And so I want you to know this. I want you to catch this today, everybody. What we are expecting, what we are anticipating when we come into this time of Advent, anticipation and expectation of the birth of Jesus and what it means. Like, we are going to find whatever we expect, whatever we make room for this Christmas, that is what we will experience the most. And my prayer for us as a church is that we are making room for family, for friends, we're making room for gifts, we're making room in our budgets, we're making room in our homes, in our kitchens, we're getting in early for the ham, we're getting in early for the prawns, come on Australia, we're doing all the preparations. But our prayer for us as a church, and maybe for you if you've never been in a church environment, our prayer is that you would see we are eagerly expecting and making room for Jesus, for the arrival of our King, the arrival of our Savior. And we wait with great hope and expectation. And here's where we're going to be going over these next few weeks. We're going to be celebrating and leaning into what we expect of the birth and the arrival of Jesus, which is great joy, great peace, and the love of God, which the incarnate God, God with us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This means, God with us means joy, it means peace, it means love with us. And this is what we are eagerly celebrating. We're going to be unpacking over the next few weeks, joy, peace, love. And that's what Christmas is about. But it's not just a nice Hallmark card. It is the reality of Christ being born 2,000 years ago. And that joy and peace and love would fill our hearts and minds with awe and wonder, that we would not be casual about this, but we would be filled with awe and wonder at the history-shaking, eternal, supernatural, cosmic, and future-defining reality that the Word became flesh, that Jesus was born to a Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit, and Emmanuel arrived on the scene. Come on, everybody, isn't that good news? Come on, everybody. I want you to celebrate today. Christmas is a big deal. And it's a big deal because of what it means about the reality of God coming to earth. And so we're going to look at Isaiah. And Isaiah, one of the major prophets, there's minor prophets in the Bible, major prophets. Major prophets, it's not that they're more major than the minors, it's just that their book is longer. And so the major prophets, Isaiah, he prophesies the coming of Jesus Christ. And he talks about Jesus. You got to understand, he talks about the birth of Jesus 700 years before it happens. He prophesies 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus Christ. And so in the book of Isaiah, we read this in Isaiah 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Thank goodness for that. It'll be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah is speaking into a time where the kingdom of Judah has felt powerless. They have been weakened. They're being pressured by Israel and Syria to join forces and fight Assyria. And the small kingdom of Judah is afraid. Their enemies are growing in strength. And they are very unsure if God is with them. They are very unsure if God is for them. And then Isaiah prophesies twice in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 9, and then in chapter prior, in chapter 7, he prophesies of the coming of a child who would represent God's presence, embody his characteristics, and govern his people. The expectation is set. We are waiting for a child. Isaiah sets the expectation. We are waiting for a child, the son, the counselor, the mighty God, the prince of peace, not priest, peace, that we are waiting. And Isaiah says all of this 700 years before it happens. And so at Christmas, who are we anticipating? What are we anticipating? Isaiah breaks it down beautifully. Number one, a child is born. We are anticipating a child. God came not as a glorious king on a throne, ascending, descending from heaven. He came as a child, born in a manger. And this speaks of his human descent. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so there is great expectation when a child is being born. I mean, there's been so many great stories of babies being born this year, some miracle stories of babies being born this year. And we are believing for more miracle stories of babies being born to couples in our church. We are believing with you. And here's the thing. When you are preparing for a child to arrive, there is great expectation. When we were preparing for Oakland to be born, we got ready. We did some things to get ready. We had to throw some things out. We had to throw a bunch of stuff out. Things that I liked, by the way. Things that I wanted to keep. But Jason said, no, we've got to throw that stuff out. We've got to make room for all of Oakland's toys and all of his needs and clothes, and we had to make room. But what were we making room for? We were getting rid of something that was good in order to make room for something better. And we are making room for the child of God, Jesus himself. And there should be great expectation in our hearts. I'm praying that you have a great sense of joy and expectation about the child, Jesus, who came 100% human and 100% divine. Not 50-50, not a little bit of human and a little bit of God. When he was born as a child, he came fully God, fully man. 100% human means he knows the realities of our humanity. Look what Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." I want to encourage you. Jesus, born as a child, born fully human, 100% human, means he knows your struggles. This means he is not a God far off in a distant land telling you what to do. This is a God who came and lived as we live, who faced temptation as we face temptation, who grieved as we grieve, who suffered just as we suffer. He knows you. He knows humanity. He knows what it's like to be human. He was fully human. Do not ever discount the fact God knows you and God knows what it's like to be fully human. This is what this means. But whilst being 100% human, he's 100% God. Completely God, completely divine, completely our solid rock which we build our life on, unblemished, without sin, completely perfect and in complete control with complete authority, 100% human, 100% divine. To us a child has been born. And then Isaiah says a son is given. This child is the Son of God that we are eagerly anticipating this Christmas. The Son of God came. This speaks of his maleness, yes. It speaks also of his dignity in the royal line, that he is the Son of God to be crowned as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God didn't send someone else's son. God didn't send an angel. God didn't send, he sent his only begotten son for you and I. Because he loves us so much, he gave us the son. God sent the son. The son, the heir to the throne, came, and he came and he died. He lived. And he died and he rose again. This is who we are eagerly, excitedly, joyfully waiting on this Christmas. Third, Isaiah says the government will be on his shoulders. Oh, thank goodness for that. Come on, everybody. Everybody just sigh. Just do a sigh of relief. Come on, do it now. Everyone, come on, every location. Just go, ah. Come on, do it with me. Ah. Thank goodness that the government is on his shoulders. This speaks of Jesus' kingship and his rulership. It speaks of the weight of his authority, the weight of the kingdom, the weight of the glory of God is upon his shoulders. And we know that all authority in heaven and earth, Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Who carries all authority? Jesus Christ himself. He carries the weight. He carries the weight of government, of governance, of ruling. The burden of ruling is on Jesus. Jesus is the King. And this is good news, that the government is not on your shoulders, that you can submit your life to God and you can take up a burden and a yoke that is easy and light. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary." Hey, this December, if you're at the end of the year and you're weary, if you're coming to the end of 2023 and you're weary, over this Christmas season, over this Christmas time, we can eagerly wait upon the Lord, knowing that the government is on his shoulders, that we can bring our cares to him who cares for us. That you can let go and you can trust this child, the Son of God. The government is on his shoulders. He carries the weight. And then Isaiah closes with this. He describes the character of the King who is coming to be born. He describes him as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A Wonderful Counselor, what does this mean? It means Jesus is the greatest of counselors because he walks in and he ministers the wisdom of God. The counsel that comes from God is the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of this world, not what your friend, your neighbors say, not what that person down the road says, not what anybody says. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. He ministers the wisdom of God. He speaks of supernatural wisdom. This is the nature of the King. And then it says, mighty God. Jesus is our mighty God. He is all powerful. Jesus is not a form of godliness. He did not come in a form, in a practice, in a tradition of godliness. He came with power. And this is who our mighty God is. Jesus came as wonderful counselor and mighty God. Look what it says in Matthew 13, 54. I love this. You tracking with me? Matthew 13, 54. Grab your Bible if you've got it. Matthew 13, 54. Look at this scripture. Jesus is coming to his hometown and he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Where did this man get this wisdom and this mighty works? Jesus is both our source of wisdom and our source of power. Not just one or the other, he's both. And we want our church to have both. Listen to me, everybody, listen. We want to reflect Jesus in that Jesus was fully working in the wisdom of God, and he fully was working and walking in the works of God, the power of God. And so whenever Jesus is around, there's a level of unpredictability. And, you know, like kind of like Christmas. Come on, everybody. You know what it's like. You know, you come to Christmas and, you know, Auntie's coming, Grandma's coming, Uncle's coming, cousins are coming. And when you got everyone together, I mean, it is unpredictable. You've got your Christmas outfit on kind of like this. So you got your Christmas outfit on, you got your Christmas hat on, everyone's around, people are talking, people are laughing, maybe people are fighting, praise God, no, that's not going to happen. There's a lot of fun, there's a lot of unpredictability, and it's full of life. And that's what we want church to be like, full of life, full of the wisdom of God. We rely on the wisdom of God. We're going to preach the word with the wisdom of God, and we are going to have the works of God. People are going to get healed. There's going to be words of wisdom, prophecy, words of knowledge, insight. There's going to be times on the altar. We're going to have an environment that reflects Jesus, wonderful counselor, and mighty God. We're going to have both, everybody. We are going to have both. And so I'm going to take this Christmas outfit on, because here, Jesus, he walked in the wisdom of God and the works of God. He had both wisdom and power. Wonderful counselor, mighty God. And then it says everlasting Father. Jesus is our everlasting King. I mean, his rule is forever, everybody. It is not for a short moment. There was lots of kings. God had king after king after king. They failed. They were good. They were bad. There were all sorts of things in between. But Jesus is the final king, the king to rule all kings. This is who he is, but it's described as everlasting Father because the rule of Jesus will have the nature of a fatherly influence. Like a good shepherd, a good father has both care and discipline. Look what Psalm 23, 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A good father, a good king, has a rule and a reign that brings both care and correction in order to bring comfort. Jesus brings both. We eagerly expect, we look this Christmas, I want you to look to both his correction and his care, because it will comfort your soul when the Holy Spirit just comes and corrects something. He says, hey, maybe just let's repent of this. Let's turn away from this. But he also brings care, and that is what brings comfort, knowing the love and the care and the correction of God. He is the everlasting Father. He leads like a father. And then it says, finally, Prince of Peace, which means Jesus is the administer of peace. The word administer means to dispense something. Jesus is the dispenser of peace. And so if you need peace, you need peace that comes from God, Jesus will administer peace. When we come under the banner and the name of Jesus, we come under the rulership and the administration of peace. And you know what this peace is like? It is peace that the world can't give you and the world can't take away. It is the peace of God. Philippians 6 to 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And here it is. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Everybody, in just a moment, the team's going to come up. They're going to join us and we're going to have some more time with God. We're going to pray. We're going to let the Holy Spirit move. But right now, can you close your eyes, everybody? Just take a moment here. Lord, I want to pray. Lord, I thank you for peace. Lord, this time in December, Lord, like Advent, Father, we would be awaiting your arrival, reminding ourselves, our soul, what it means for you to arrive. Lord, I pray every person this Christmas has time aside to wait on you, to reflect on the great peace, the great power of God. Lord, that every person, Lord, would have time to release that gift of peace, the peace of God to others. Through our connect groups, Lord, I'm praying through every connect group that's doing hampers this year. And hey, listen, I want you to do a hamper, connect group leaders. Let's do it, everybody. As we send out hampers, Lord, we are praying that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will touch hearts and minds in our community this Christmas. So, Lord, help us take space and time to reflect and help us be intentional about delivering and taking that peace to others. That we are a church purposed for others. And so we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for all you're doing and all you're going to do this Christmas. In Jesus' name, they all said, come on, everybody, a good hearty amen. Amen, amen, amen. Over to you, team. I love you, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.